Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
All right, Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, back in Atlanta. How'd you survive the night?
I did really well, but you are looking remarkably well rested. I mean, we had 3 full days out in Dallas doing the ASTD International Conference and Exposition. How many interviews do you think we did out there?
At least 50, I think.
It was a lot of fun, though. But it was 3 full days. But to me, I always enjoy when you get such a concentrated group. They're all in the same profession,
right?
And we met up with some old friends, but we made some new ones too.
That's right. And I think now I have my master's degree in learning.
Yes, you do.
You got
all the buzzwords. But this is going to be a lot of fun. We have a studio full this morning. We're going to get a chance to visit with the folks from Little Pink Book and get a little recap on the event that they had. So that's going to be fun. They were in the studio, a week or two ago before the event. So I'm anxious to get that recap. We're also going to get a chance to visit with Michael Bouch with Pomum Pro. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce 2 gentlemen with Razor. Please welcome to the show Garth Lyerly and Chris Merkel. How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing great.
We are doing well. Excited to have you. Let's start with you, Chris, if we might. Can you give us just a little bit of an overview, thumbnail sketch? What is Razor out there trying to do for folks? What kind of problems are you solving?
Sure. So we deal with digital marketing solutions. Unlike traditional ad agencies, we also are able to develop the solutions in-house, whether that's mobile applications or websites, everything from startup websites to CRM implementations, as well as helping people with consulting on social media like Facebook.
Did you guys start out in the traditional advertising space, or did you start out from a digital perspective?
No, so we were born as a digital agency. The difference in that is that, you know, when in an ad agency, when you have the traditional campaign buys,
right,
people will come to us just for specifically technology needs that we're able to work through from ideation all the way to deployment.
Right, but I was just trying to understand, did you guys come from a traditional ad agency, like you were ad people, or were you technology people that got into the marketing and advertising world?
Okay, no, we actually started in web design. So my background is just from college, starting this company from college.
So you started out helping people just build websites?
Yeah. Yeah, from the kitchen table, it's a story, you know. Signed my first deal from my mom's kitchen table.
Nice. And Garth, what's your role in this company? What do you do?
So I'm the VP of Business Development for Razor, and I basically onboard all new clients and help them really kind of work through their requirements and how we apply their requirements to, you know, the proper methods in the digital space.
So what I'm hearing is, without you, nobody eats, right? It's got to get sold first, right?
No, I mean, that's not necessarily true. I mean, we're a great team. We all work together really, really hard.
So now, as part of the onboarding process, do you have to take them to Chris's mom's place?
Yes. I take them there for coffee first, and we sit down and meet everybody.
But, as long as mom gives approval, then we take the clients.
Exactly.
But the market for mobile, it's got to be expanding, right? Well, at this remote broadcast that we did, we talked about mobile learning
all the time.
A ton.
Yeah, that's a whole. I mean, these were training and development people who had always worked in front of a classroom and taught, you know, traditionally like that, and now with the advent of mobile, they're trying to bring their mobile and the learning nuggets onto the people's smartphones wherever they are. So it's infiltrating all kinds of industries, huh?
Yeah, it's definitely growing, and I mean, it's only going to get bigger and continue to grow. I did read something in an article yesterday that I think by the end of this year there are going to be more smartphones than there are literate adults. So that's very interesting to hear that and see that, but it's getting crazy out there. So
how do you guys go to market? Are people knocking down your door, or do you use mobile technology to reach out and say, hey, maybe we ought to talk about mobile?
Sure. You know, a lot of our work definitely comes from referrals. We get a lot of business that way. We do have our own digital campaigns that we run internally. We do a lot of content marketing, a lot of search engine marketing, and basically try to create a website that is engaging and interactive to people looking for the services we offer.
So that way you can show your clients, like, see how you found us. We're going to do the same thing for you.
Exactly.
Correct.
Just like those outdoor billboard ads, like you could be advertising.
Right. If you could read this, you could read your ad.
Exactly. So what's your favorite part about the work, man?
Oh, gosh. There's so many things. You know, I'm not a developer by any means, but I'm just infatuated with code. I love design. I love all aspects of the actual inner workings that create these applications. That's what drives me and the passion. I love technology. You know, this is my first run in the technology field or marketing field. Been doing it for, you know, about 5 years now and, you know, absolutely love it. It's just very interesting. It's new every day. You know, we're all subject to Moore's Law in the technology field. So every 18 months we've got, you know, some new change or some new growth. And that's the exciting, you know, thing for me.
Now, do you have any do's and don'ts to share with companies out there that are contemplating getting into mobile?
Definitely. So when you're first thinking about doing mobile, whether it's an app or a mobile strategy for the first time, really think about your user. So, you know, start creating some type of persona for who's your audience, who's your demographic, mm-hmm. and be able to define who you're going to be targeting. Because at the end of the day, if you take, you know, just the numbers of creating a budget and saying, okay, this is what I want to spend on a mobile application, you know, let's just find some graphic designers or let's have our intern put together some sketches.
An intern?
Yeah.
Some people do it, though.
Oh, yeah. You'd be so surprised.
Well,
wow.
Yeah. An intern. Because they're young. They'll know how to use it.
Well, yeah.
Is
exactly.
That the thing?
Yeah.
Exactly
well, right. I mean, you have C-level people and you have marketing managers of today. And it's, well, this kid's young. Hopefully he knows what people are looking for our youth and the college market or whomever.
So some random 20-year-old.
Yeah,
just
you'd
pull
be,
out of
you'd
college
be pretty
is,
surprised
is doing their digital strategy.
Yeah,
you see that a lot in social media too, where a lot of these C-level execs want to hire, you know, kids right out of college. It's like, well, they know social media; they're on Twitter, they're on Facebook. You know, they should know how to do this, but you know, in fact, they're great communicators and they're great at, you know, disseminating content. But when it comes down to actually measuring, you know, the return on engagement, they lack that. They don't
really
understand.
It's hard
that.
To believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the engagement cycle, walk us through a little bit. How does it work if for like Business Radio X, let's say we wanted to start looking at mobile applications, and we probably
Which
should,
we do.
Right?
Right.
Right? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, we want Absolutely. People to hear this stuff on their devices, wherever they are, when they want it. Walk us through the engagement cycle. What happens first? And then
sure. So meeting with someone like yourself, we would do like some type of discovery phase where we identify who you want to target and what you want your application to do.
Right.
And then essentially we're going to start rapid prototyping and wireframing out a solution before we even start development. That's a lot of the piece that a lot of people skip today. So people think, okay, I've got my list of requirements, and we just want to go and let's build this mobile app with, you know, a whole bunch of different, you know, XYZ that we want in it as a rich feature section. But they really don't do any testing. They're not defining those personas like I touched on before. And then when they put something out to market, it has nothing to do with, you know, what their user wants. So if you want something, let's say you want a streaming radio application, we'd help you define all those requirements, figure out what's going to be the best way to bring this to market for your user, and then also understand the technology before it's even, you know, started. So you'll be able to say, okay, we're going to stream this show, whether it's going to be live or on demand,
right.
Have solutions for that, know how hosting is going to be, know how you're going to manage all of your content, set up all that stuff. And then by the end of our first session, you're going to have some type of rapid prototype where you can see it. And then in a week or so, you'll have a visual guideline to say, wow, this is what it can actually look like before the code's actually developed.
Oh, so before you even start coding, you're kind of drawing pretty pictures so I can get a feel for what it's going to really look like in the wild.
Correct. So
rather than investing all the time, if I don't like what it looks like, then why are we wasting all the time with the code for what I don't like,
well,
right?
Exactly. So hopefully you, of course, like it.
Right.
But it helps you work through a lot of issues where you didn't think of it before. So if you're going through navigation, like a user flow of, oh, well, I thought it'd be really great if someone had to sign up and then they would click on, you know, listen live or go in, have to register first, you know, find different pain points in that application,
right.
Which reduce the risk of, you know, having a deviance in timelines when you're developing, mm-hmm. and also helps you stay true to your original budget.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm getting kind of enamored with this. So do you think you could make my this thing that Kevin uses there behind that screen. I mean, you got to have a PhD.
Are you trying to get free consulting?
I'm suspending the show right now. The show is being suspended for just a few moments while Stone gets some consulting. You got to have a PhD to run this broadcasting software. Can we make like a flip cam version of,
you know, press the red button?
Press the red button and go.
And you
and
don't do that, right?
Give me a couple weeks. We can make this on an iPad.
Are you serious?
I'm completely serious. Yeah,
yeah, we should do that.
So do you work with people here only in America, or you have talent all over the world?
Well, that's a big thing for us. Is when we speak with a lot of our clients, they've had a lot of issues with outsourcing, meaning offshoring today. So outsourcing isn't just working with another.
I was trying to be a little more diplomatic.
Okay. Well, I'm very honest with that, and there's a lot of pain points with taking things offshore. There's a lot of companies that can make it work, but a lot of the issues that we see from our clients is that the logic that applications are put together aren't thought through as thoroughly as we can think through it here in the United States, is which kind of the feedback we get. There's a lot to do with the business logic and thinking through in terms of what the user wants. So whereas we work through things from wireframing and seeing the visuals and things before we start the coding, you essentially, if you're working with another team offshore, you give them a list of just things that they have to develop. They'll go through that.
So they have like a punch list, and they're just knocking out tasks. That's
exactly right.
But they're not really understanding kind of the nuances and how everything's really playing together.
Yeah, so if you have a login form and you say, hey, build me a login form,
right,
there's a login form. But of course, we know that login form has to go somewhere. That data has to go somewhere.
Right.
And if you don't say where that data goes, you just have a login form and it doesn't go anywhere.
You got to have another punch list that solves that problem.
So where do the wheels typically come off on not just mobile projects, but I guess just development projects in general? What are some of the big pitfalls that people ought to be looking out for?
I would say really who you're working with, their experience, and having a really solid project management team so that they have the experience to go out and know exactly what each person is capable of, from user experience design to graphics and visual design, and then the actual development team, whether it's front end, which would be the iPhone itself, programming the iPhone, versus the back end, which is all the data in your server, databases, things like that, and really understanding how all those people can work together. Because if you were to go out and you want to manage this yourself, you have to manage a team of 5-6 people off the bat. And if you don't know what their skill set is, you don't know how to have those people talk together. Mm-hmm. And if it's your first time managing a visual person and a back end server person,
good luck. So you want someone who can serve as a good general contractor and be that one source for you.
And have all the resources of the skilled people that can solve the problem.
That's right. Yeah, and I think that's where, you know, we really kind of show our true value is, you know, as an agency, we're not a freelance developer that knows how to program, you know,
seven different languages of code.
You know, or you know, a developer or a programmer, in a sense, is only going to know how to do that specific job. There are the gems out there that can program. They know user experience. They might be really good with front-end design. But that's very, very rare to find. And then they have to be a project manager on top of that and a business owner. So at Razor, you know, we pull all of these resources together. And we offer, you know, all of the services.
Right, it's a turnkey thing.
Correct. So it's not.
But like consumers have to, you know, you're constantly bombarded with these, you know, the new guru of, you know, for a while everybody was social media guru and now everybody's a digital guru.
Ninjas.
Right, they're all out there, right? How many ninjas can there be, right?
I mean, you know? Who wants a ninja working on
But it is a crowded marketplace for you guys. I know you said you work, you know, you get a lot of business from referrals, but still it's a very crowded marketplace, and a lot of the people writing the checks
the customer doesn't know.
Know about as much as you and I know.
Right. They were about to hire their 20-year-old intern to do this.
And we see that a lot, and you know, that's something that we're working on right now, is kind of the entrepreneur's pocket guide to development and kind of helping them understand what goes into development, what you should be looking for in an agency. You know, should you hire a CTO or a CIO before you start, you know, jumping into a huge development? Because, you know, every day I deal with, you know, no offense to anyone, but entrepreneurs that come in with this tremendous idea for the next new app. And, you know, I love their ideas. I think they're awesome. But they're not treating these apps as a business. They're just treating it as this
cool thing.
Cool thing that goes on a phone that might make them some money, but they have no idea how it's going to make them money. They have no idea what's going to happen to them in 24 months. They have no idea about technology. So, you know, kind of going back to your question about where, you know, where the wheels fall off, I think it's really, especially for the entrepreneur out there that's looking to make the next Instagram and sell it for, you know, billions of dollars, is really creating that business strategy and those requirements around the application if you want to make money off of this, if that's your end goal is to, you know, become wealthy and create a business out of this, you know, an app is a product in short. And I think a lot of the entrepreneurs are kind of missing the mark there.
So you think that, so you guys build apps though, right? So if somebody did have an idea for an app, you know, you could help them, right?
Correct.
That's one
of the
things you do, but you're more inclined to work with companies that have a strategy, a digital strategy, where an app would be a component of that.
And if they don't have that, we can help them develop that. Mm-hmm. So where Garth was talking about entrepreneurs, if they come to us and they say, you know, well, at first, building a mobile app is a great investment. So if you're going to take the time and resources and invest your own money into something, I would hope that you have either an exit strategy or you have some type of strategy around
right.
it. And there's plenty of times where Garth and I will hop on the phone with someone and they're calling us for the first time. They have a great idea or they're working with a brand. And we're like, well, that's great. You're either making this more complex than it needs to be and we can help you simplify that.
Right.
Or, okay, well, that's great. So once we make it for you, what are you going to do after that? Because we don't want to sit here and watch you fail if you're just going to think,
I'll put it on
okay,
the iTunes.
I'll throw it in the App Store. It'll be $1.99,
right.
And I'm going to make millions of dollars.
And then I'll sit back
you
on
know,
the
what's
beach.
What's your marketing, what's your marketing plan look like? What are you going to do with supporting this? What's your hosting and technology? How are you going to keep your content fresh? And they're like, oh, we didn't think about that.
Wow.
You know, and a lot of people say,
I have
an
idea. Isn't that I get a check for my idea?
And you'd be surprised too. I mean, a lot of brands and businesses that are in the space come to us with, you know, technology and ideas and concepts, and still lack the wherewithal to actually build this stuff and put it together. So it's not just the entrepreneurs that, you know, are essentially, you know, the ones that need the education. I mean, it's this is a very, very complex field, and there's a lot of different ways to do things.
Now, can you talk a little bit about the labs, Razorblade Labs?
Yeah, absolutely. This is really exciting. I'm really excited about this.
You were
myself.
Excited before.
Yeah,
I've
been excited about this forever.
You got him fired up.
I can see
no,
that.
No, we were working on an application that shall remain nameless, and we realized that we were experiencing what's called fragmentation. I think if everybody pulled out their phone here, we all have a different phone. Some of us might have a phone that's running Android, but it's obviously a different version of Android, and it's on a phone that's, you know, obviously a different size.
Some of us might have a phone that
Why
is the size of a flat
mine?
Screen television. Have you seen the size of Lee's phone?
Yeah, that's a giant phone. So
I'm cutting edge.
Yeah,
everyone's
going to
have
a
phone this
edge.
Big soon.
But even if we look at the tablets on the table, these are obviously all different tablets as well. So the idea behind the lab is to open up a place for independent developers, designers, strategists, marketers, whomever, to come in and openly test on multiple devices, whether it be a smartphone, a tablet, a television, a game console, anything that's really internet connected or essentially mobile. So I definitely want to keep this open to, you know, the independent developers and designers for free to let them come in.
Are they doing it?
We're launching in January.
Oh, you haven't
in
launched
July.
It?
Yeah.
Oh,
so we haven't
exciting.
Launched yet. We're still in the strategy and planning phase for everything to really get it marked up. Device acquisition has been quite a challenge to get everything.
Have you tried using rapid prototyping? I hear that works extremely well.
Definitely will. But, you know, we have to monetize it somehow to keep the lab up and running, and we will be charging businesses.
Kickstarter?
To come in. Yeah, Kickstarter. Kickstarter's actually, you know, it's in the cards. It's in the cards. So
how will you fund it, though, all kidding aside?
All kidding aside, you know, we are going to charge, you know, big corporations or businesses that want to test their applications on these devices in a live environment.
Right.
We will have the option for them to rent the lab for the day, the week, the month, however. We're also going to have the mobile lab to where if somebody wants their privacy, their security, we can come out to their headquarters or their office, bring all the devices, everything they need to, you know, effectively test, set it up for them, break it down for them, wipe the devices, and, you know, take off.
Very
so
cool. You know, something else that would have been cool. I mean, I keep going back to our business, right? But what would have been cool at this remote broadcast that we did, if for whatever reason the internet stuff had not worked well, is there some kind of mobile gizmo we could have had to make sure that at least everyone there in the expo hall could have gotten on their phone and heard the broadcasting we were doing? I'm trying to set you guys up for sale. You don't have to answer the question.
Well, your question is if the internet wasn't working, could you still stream to the device?
Yeah. Like through 3G or 4G or 9G or whatever G you guys are on these days?
Yeah, so you can stream over the cell networks, which would be 3G or 4G. I'm waiting for 5G in a couple of years.
And then you could maybe build me a box or something so that the stuff Kevin uses would make it talk to all the
Like
genes.
Our own little Wi-Fi. Yeah.
Well, you can definitely stream over Wi-Fi also.
Right. We want our own internet. You know,
right. Let's build it. Let's do it.
Were you broadcasting at the event?
Yes.
Okay, then you could set up a local network so everyone on the device could use your own Wi-Fi and you wouldn't technically need the internet.
There you go.
See that?
Now you're talking my language. This is one step closer to world dominance. But the point
world
is, there is just so much opportunity.
So we can fire that 20-year-old.
Exactly.
Yeah, you guys can candidate.
Because he didn't know that.
Yeah, he didn't.
So what's next for you guys? So where are you going to be putting your energy and effort? Obviously in the slabs.
Yep. Yeah, the lab is definitely going to be a primary focus for myself and, you know, the rest of the team. I couldn't do it, you know, without...
Don't be modest.
I really couldn't do it without the support.
His nickname's Garth Blade. Don't let him fool you.
Yeah. And that's kind of where the name... It's called Razor Blade Labs, which I picked up this nickname. I'll never let it down. We'll leave it at that.
What about the new project? Was it Paso?
Yeah, Paso. So I'll let Chris talk about that.
You'll let him.
Baby.
He's the CEO. Yeah.
That's why I have Garth. He keeps me on track.
I can see that.
So with Paso, it actually stands for privacy and single sign-on. And with the past couple of years, we've seen a lot of trends in privacy management and privacy concerns over data management for users. Mm-hmm. Now, the rush and where all the money has been going to is to the enterprise to secure all of your apps. I mean, you can see here in Atlanta, AirWatch has done tremendously well.
As you can see by the building down the street.
Right on the opposite of our business, I think.
Right.
Yeah. So to have a name like that is just amazing, especially here in Atlanta. And what we're trying to do is not necessarily the same, but it's for the consumer so that a consumer can have more transparency into what data applications are using. And we use different use cases like, say, a Netflix or something. So if you were to sign up for Netflix, you can control what type of data Netflix could see from you if you were to secure your information with this application. Mm-hmm. And once you pass that, it could be things like your personal information and email, all the way down to your financial information so you could have a credit card on file. So that Netflix always has the most cleanest and whether it's sanitized or up-to-date information. A great example is if you'd synced with this application and you've done maybe 30 different applications using your financial, say someone hacks whatever, your Gmail, and they get your credit card information or whatever. Your bank is, of course, going to issue you, hopefully, if you've got a good bank, give you a new credit card, which is a new number, new CVV number, all that fun stuff. How many people in here have had to do that before?
Right, and then you got to go back and the 30 things that are
exactly.
tied to it.
All the stuff you're subscribed to, it's a nightmare.
So all of a sudden you start getting those, hey, your past due. Well, you don't have the right credit card.
And then what's my password?
Yeah, exactly.
Can you add my password in there too?
You can. So this is a way to also sync all of your passwords so you don't need to remember passwords anymore because we manage all the passwords in the back end with secure tokens. But back to the credit card, say that example happens, you can go in and update your credit card in our system and it syncs those 30 applications.
Oh, wow.
So they have your
That's
updated
awesome.
Information.
So how far along are you on that?
So we've got our database and basically the server architecture mapped out in a secure environment, and we'll have a prototype done probably by next week.
Wow, how exciting.
So we're very excited. We're going to...
Where are you? Alpha, beta?
It would be considered alpha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're going to go to New York. We're actually looking for some venture capital.
Some funding?
Yep,
wow.
I'm getting through...
There
going
might
through
be
a couple
someone in this room
there.
Right now that could help you.
Yeah.
Small world.
That's right. So that's when Garth will let you go to market.
Yes.
He will.
Yes.
If he gives me the time off, I'm going to go to New York and try to raise some funding.
I'll let Chris start talking.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I'll be fine. I'll be busy with the lab. So, you know,
it's but it's an exciting thing because that's kind of the combination of everything I've personally learned over the last 13 years and everything that our agency has been doing.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah.
So where can our listeners go to learn more, have a conversation with you guys about all this neat stuff?
Definitely check us out online. That's www.razoragency.com. It is spelled R-A-Z-U-R because aside from being ninjas, we are some hipsters too, so we have to spell it cool. But yeah, you can check us out there. There's links to all of our social media where we're very active and love to talk and communicate and share really cool things. So you know, check us out there. Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to kind of really see what we're about. And then if you want to reach out,
see
further,
some case studies, learn about us, get our backgrounds, and
sure.
Cool.
All right. Well, thank you both for joining us this morning. Very informative, exciting. I mean, it's a whole new world out there. We got
to
have you back sometime. Maybe give
bring a client,
like an update on the lab. Bring a client. That would you be up for that? Maybe
totally.
And maybe get their perspective.
Yeah. Absolutely.
See how good you really are.
We'll get the truth next round.
Yeah.
Hey, how about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
That sounds great.
Yeah, I'd love
Thank
to.
You guys.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, we have with us from, I'm going to not pronounce this properly, but I'm going to give it a shot again. Pomum Pro?
Yes, that's it.
Look at that. I did well. Mr. Michael Bouch. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I tell you, you were nodding your head. I don't know if you took any notes or if you typed anything on your iPad over there, but it seemed like you were getting something out of that conversation we just had.
Most definitely. These guys really talented with what they do. There's a lot of developers out there, but these guys help you from beginning to end, and I'm really impressed with what they're doing.
Well, let's see if we can get impressed with what you're doing. Tell us a little bit about your outfit and what you're out there doing for folks.
Well, Pomum Pro is an Apple consulting firm. There's very few of us right now doing this, but most IT companies will, you know, are PC-based. What we're doing is helping the rapidly growing Apple community out there. There's so many people now that think about Apple and they think they only need support with Macintosh, but virtually every organization, most households have some type of Apple equipment in it now, be it iPhones, iPads, Macintosh, Apple TV. It's all out there now, and there's a reason Apple's now the largest company in the world.
Now, are you working primarily with people who have consumer devices, or are you working with them in their businesses? Because most creative agencies have, you know, are Mac-friendly.
They are, but we are working with everybody from the home user to enterprise level.
Oh, so everybody.
Everybody. We actually just took on a European-based worldwide company with 12,000 employees, mm-hmm. providing all their Apple support.
So how did you get into this line of work? What's your backstory?
I've actually been doing it for 22 years. The company is new. Pomum Pro is only a few months old. But for the past 22 years, I have been providing Apple support in some way or another through other companies. I've even contracted for the military at one point.
And now, is there a trend for companies that are now PC-based? Is it a growing trend? They're moving to Apple, and if so, why?
Not so much moving, but integrating. Some actually are moving,
right.
But a lot are integrating because people are using it at home more and more.
Uh-huh.
And they want to be using what they're comfortable with in the business environment. So you'll find people out in the field requesting instead of a PC laptop, they want a Macintosh, a MacBook, or an iPad or an iPhone to do their work out in the field or even on their desktop at the office. And there's resistance in IT, in corporate IT.
IT doesn't, they want to, is it because they just want to stick with what they have, or are they specifically predisposed to anything but Apple? What's the source of their
prejudice against Apple, yeah. right?
Somewhat. It's what their background is, though. Frankly, the return on investment on Macs is incredible. The survey after survey over the years has shown that you get a much longer lifespan out of Apple equipment,
mm-hmm.
where a typical PC you may get 2 or 3 years out of. I have a 6-year-old iMac at home that I still do video editing on, and it still does a great job.
Yeah, our engineer has a Lisa. You fix them.
I thought they were all in a landfill.
You don't fix those?
Is it true, though, that Macs are less susceptible to viruses and all that stuff, or is that just something that we all tell ourselves? Are these young people that are working for us tell us so that we'll buy more Macs?
There are fewer viruses for them. They do exist.
Yeah.
But there's also mechanisms. Because Apple is a single-source company, the OS, the hardware, you can only get from one company.
Right.
They're able to tighten it up more than others. So they have mechanisms in it. Yes, you can get a virus, but you have to let it in. It can't just appear. So you have to launch an app. And they even have software built into the OS now.
Not a Razer app. Razer app would never let this happen. Right, guys?
That's correct.
All right, just to be clear.
Specifically on the Mac, though, you have to launch an app, a malicious app, and for it to get in. Now, once they're in, it can be just as damaging as any. Oh, definitely. But with the iDevices, Apple controls the market. They have just the Apple App Store, and they vet everything that comes into it. They make sure there is nothing malicious before it's available to the customers. Where with other platforms, there's open markets. There's several of them available, and people can put pretty much anything out there, and people can download whatever they want.
Now, if a business wanted to say, you know what, I'm tired of all these PCs, all the hassles, and all the, you know, there's always problems. I want to switch everything to Apple products. Can you help the firm make that integration?
Most definitely. That's what we're about. We know every aspect of Apple. That's what we've made our business. We don't do anything with other platforms. We will bring in other people if necessary to help our clients.
But what if, like,
them.
I have software that's like only on PCs?
There are solutions for that.
So you have workarounds?
Definitely. Apple builds in a mechanism called Boot Camp that you can actually boot any of their machines into Windows if you need Windows.
You can have an Apple and be like doing PC type stuff.
Yep. In fact,
how cool is that?
In fact,
doesn't
a company
defeat the purpose?
Yeah, really.
The Apple has decided that it was best to embrace this, I believe,
right.
Just for people transitioning. And I think it's a good move for them.
Well, I do too. Back to us, which is what I like to talk about.
I
notice a lot of
that
the time.
Every guest.
Well, no, this broadcasting software that you have to have a PhD in, I don't even think it's made for Mac. But I think you could put it on a Mac in this boot camp mode
most,
or whatever.
Most definitely. In fact, a recent study was done to find the best PC, to find what mm-hmm. PC runs Windows the best, and it was a MacBook. I am not lying. That it happened.
Did you do this study? Like, who did this study?
I did not. I don't have the.
Sponsored
I don't know.
By Pom-Pom. Pom-Pom. Yeah. Wait a minute. What's the deal with the name?
Pom-Pom Pro. First of all, Pom-Pom is Latin for Apple, so uh-huh. We're Apple Pro. And
I bet ApplePro.com was taken.
Probably.
Would and they even let you use the word Apple in your name?
Oh, yeah.
It depends on what – Apple can't stop us from using something like Apple Pro if we could have gotten the domain
right.
name. But they do have other ways of keeping us from using Apple or Mac in our name. And that's something called Apple Consultants Network that they run. If we want to be a part of that,
uh-huh.
We can't – we've got to follow certain guidelines.
Right.
And Pom-Pom Pro also, the part of the consideration was – as everybody knows, finding a domain name these days, it can be difficult. And we wanted to do something unique, something memorable, and also something that's a conversation starter. And Pom-Pom Pro is, and the domain name was available.
Well, I'll tell you who has all the domain names right there, Lee Cantor. Every time I talk to him, he's bought three or four new domain
it's
names.
It's a hobby of mine.
It is. He's constantly getting calls for selling his domains. So here's a question I have, whether it's Mac versus PC or whatever, that seems to be something you really have your arms around.
Mm-hmm.
But is that whole issue becoming almost moot with the cloud? I mean, are we all just going to be operating kind of dummy boxes and it's all going to be in the cloud anyway?
Well, a lot of that is happening, and that has helped with people that want to use the Mac, is a lot of vertical market applications, whether it be real estate, legal, you name it. They're moving their applications to web-based. So you can – doesn't matter what computer you're on. It doesn't have to be even your computer with your app installed on it. You can sit down at someone else's computer in their office, bring up your account, log into the software, and do your work. So it really doesn't matter anymore. Now people are able to make that decision a little bit easier with those type of vertical market apps that are in the cloud.
Now what about if something happens and things break, is this like crazy expensive to fix?
Not like it used to be. I'm actually an Apple certified technician, so I can break these things down, and I have literally hundreds of them. Macintosh, Apple doesn't specifically let people do iPhones and iPads, but they are very repairable. But Macs specifically are actually fairly easy to work on, and parts are incredibly easy to get now,
mm-hmm.
and very affordable.
So if I'm having a problem from a software standpoint or a hardware problem, I can call you and you can help me?
Definitely. That's what we do.
So you're an on-call Mac doctor, but then you also have this more strategic kind of consulting practice where you go in, you work with companies, you help them map out their strategy for the box that's going to be on people's
exactly
workstations.
Yep, we can help them transition from a PC-based environment to a new Mac environment, along with integrating their iDevices. In fact, one of the companies that was mentioned earlier, AirWatch, we're partners with.
Mm-hmm.
And what one of the things they do is what's called MDM, Mobile Device Management. Say that quickly.
That's why we say MDM.
Right, MDM.
Right.
But what it does is for schools that are adopting iPads in the classroom, businesses that are putting iPhones out there. In fact, the company we just took on, 12,000 employees, they're dumping BlackBerry for iPhones. And one of the one of the challenges is security, making sure every device has what they want on it and secured in the way they want it. And you know the what people logically think is you take every device and someone sits there and puts what they IT wants on it. But what AirWatch does for us is providing mobile device management. We can configure a single device, pull its configuration off of it, put it on a server, and then every device out in the field we can shoot new settings out to whenever we want to. New apps, update apps, change Wi-Fi
settings. That's impressive,
settings.
But I got to be honest, a little scary that you can do all that from the mothership.
Well, they're company-owned devices.
Right.
Well, there you go.
They need them secure the way they have to be done.
So they can look at everybody's photos?
They actually, it doesn't allow
now
you.
Now Lee's scared.
It actually doesn't work that direction. You don't see what's on the devices.
Okay.
But it does allow you to change the configuration or wipe them as necessary.
Right.
If you let an employee go or something.
Or if it was stolen or if they lost it, they want to wipe it. They don't want anybody to get a hold of it.
Exactly.
So before we wrap, I got to ask you the same question that I asked Garth. It all sounds great, particularly if you can have a meaningful conversation like this with someone who writes a check in a company of 12,000 people. How in the world do you go about marketing something like this? I mean, you can't just knock on the door, right, and say, would you like to explore some ideas for integrating Mac?
He goes into offices, looks around, see if they have PCs, right? Drop off your card.
No, I mean, the marketing has got to be a challenge, yeah?
It is a challenge for true marketing. But like I said, I've been doing this for 22 years. A lot of people already know me. They know what I'm capable of. My partner, Sam, is an incredible repair of iDevices.
He's the doctor. He's the Mac doctor.
Actually, iDevices. He is just incredible at repairing those things.
Got it.
And we've developed a reputation that has helped us via word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that's come to us at this point has been word of mouth. People just knowing our capabilities and letting other people know
about us. Yeah, I would
imagine
the demand's so high.
Right. Well, yeah. That's what happens when you do good work, right?
Definitely.
It's funny how that works. Huh? It's a good marketing strategy. Good work.
One of my clients said the reason she likes working with us and she recommends us is because we speak to them on a consumer level, not as techs.
Right.
And I focus heavily on that. That's actually my first priority, mm-hmm. is communicating with my clients. Not actually the work comes secondary. The work I know I can do. And
right.
I don't need to focus as much on it as communicating with my clients and making sure they understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, not everybody out there is like me and Lee and just throws out MDM, stuff like that, slings terms like that around. All right, let's make sure that we give our listeners your coordinates so they can reach out, call you if they have an immediate problem and need a eye doctor or a Mac doctor, whatever you want to call them. But also if they want to have a substantive conversation with you and really think through integration strategy, right. What's the best way to reach out?
You can just go to our website, Pomum Pro. It's POMUMPRO.com.
All right, fantastic. Hey, you going to hang with us while we visit with our next guest?
Oh, most definitely.
Well, thanks so much for coming down, man.
Thank you.
This has been a fun show. This has been a lot of fun. It felt like a really fast pace when we were at the remote broadcast,
yeah.
But this kind of feels like that. One after the
this
other.
This is how we do it.
Have you learned anything so far?
I have learned quite a bit.
So in this last segment,
hire someone.
Yeah, hire someone.
Don't do
that's
these
the
things
ticket.
On your own.
That is definitely the trick. So in this last segment, we're going to have back with us the folks from Little Pink Book, and welcome back, Danielle. How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
I am doing well. Are you rested and are you prepared to share with us what all took place?
Ish.
Ish.
We're heading into the fall preparations now. So.
So how did it go?
It went fantastic. The panel was excellent. I don't know if we told you last time we were here, it was our first of having a panelist that was 13 years old on our panel. Her name's Maya Penn.
Usually you have younger people?
No. think she might be the youngest for us this time around.
And this is not Maya with you. Who is this with you?
No, this isn't Maya with me. This is Nicole, who's our editor at Little Pink Book.
Hello again, Nicole. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Good to have you back. Anyway, go ahead. You were talking about Maya.
Yeah, so we had panelists like Maya. That was a first for us. She was actually very insightful, I would say. What do you think?
She was. She was actually probably our most talkative panelist, which was really interesting. She had a lot to say. She definitely had a lot to say.
Now, when you're doing an event like that and it's, you know, You hope it comes together as you envisioned it. When you finish, were you high-fiving each other, or you're like, you know, next year we're going to do something different?
Definitely we were high-fiving each other. Yeah, so, definitely this time around we were high-fiving each other.
So it exceeded expectations?
Absolutely.
Have you gotten any feedback from the attendees?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've been doing this particular event for 4 years. This is our fourth annual. In general, we have attendees that are kind of seasoned. They come to all of our events.
Sure. Yeah, regulars.
But, you know, this time we had a good reception in terms of attendees saying that they love the mix of the group that was there. The vendors were very insightful for their industries and their areas. And it just seemed like a good mix of people, you know, people who are either entrepreneurs or those seeking to start their own businesses, like really those groups of people.
And the day-to-day of Little Pink Book, walk back through that, if you will. And maybe, Nicole, you can address that. There's
Since
a lot
you
more
do
than
the heavy lifting there, yeah. Right?
I did. Actually, we were able to get a lot of great content for the website from the event.
Sure.
From our panelists, we put together some great Minute Mentor videos where they were able to offer and share tips for how they came to be so successful in their businesses, which was great.
So how does this work, though, day-to-day? You put out something like weekly? Is that right?
Daily. Daily.
Yay,
wow. Man, you are busy.
We are. We have a daily pink note. And what that is just like a daily piece of inspiration and encouragement for our readers. So each day is something different. So what's today? Today's Thursday. So it's like work-life balance. So we'll put
So you don't even call Thursday Thursday. You call it work-life balance, right?
Exactly. That's what we focus on. Just things to try to help our women have beautiful careers and beautiful lives.
Now, how many readers do you guys have?
We have 58,000 subscribers.
Wow.
Yeah, so there are definitely a lot of women getting
to And so you do these live events to kind of give them a place to hang out and meet
we
each
do.
Other in person?
Most definitely. It's a time for everyone to come together and get the pink message in, I guess, a larger form.
Well, it's a really nice mix because you get that that scale of being able to collaborate virtually, and but then you get that old school, you know, look you in the eye and get to know you. So it's a really nice mix. Now, you have this this daily thing that goes out. Is there also some social media thingy, Twittery, Facebooky type thing?
On top of that?
Yes.
On top of that, yeah.
We definitely manage a Facebook page and a Twitter page. We're very active with those. We'll actually be doing a Twitter party alongside Pershing on June 5th for their Insight 2013 event.
Nice. And you've got this CFO thing coming up. When is that?
We do. That is at the end of June. So that'll kind of coincide with our new launch. We'll be relaunching our website. And we'll be featuring women like Hometowns, you know, our hometown favorite, Atlanta, Home Depot, Carol Tomei. They have a female CFO. So we'll be featuring all of the female CFOs from the Fortune 500.
And mobile? Have we gone mobile?
I know some guys.
We know some guys.
Do you know some people?
And you can test the stuff out.
Yeah, we use rapid prototyping. Yeah, we're big on this.
Definitely hook us up with your people.
Well, if you can't afford it, we'll hook you up with some money.
We got all the bases covered here today.
You can pull pink in on Pulse. That's a great way to be able to read, you know, from us is definitely to download a Pulse app or something like Flipboard.
I have Pulse. I guess where I get your buddy Seth Godin, I have in my Pulse.
And Flipboard? You guys on Flipboard?
Yes, you can. You could tie in our Twitter to your Flipboard right now.
So what's next for you guys? What's coming up over the coming year?
The next event will be this fall. It will likely be at the Intercontinental in Buckhead again. And that one will be, I guess, in line with the CFO list also, because we'll have some senior women, the C-level women of Fortune 500, 100 companies represented on the panel that time around. And what else is, we'll be launching the website. That's pretty major. That's around the time also of our company's anniversary. This is our ninth year. Yeah.
You got to share some of your secret sauce with us, though, because you guys have you have relationships with very senior level people. Is it only because you focused on a niche, namely professional females? Because, you know, Lee's always saying that niches
brings you riches.
And I'm sure that could be
that
part of it.
That's a good slogan. One. I like that.
Look, it's copyright.
You got to pay me a royalty every time you do that.
So I'm sure that's part of it, right? You found a niche and you're really catering to that niche. But right. There's something else you guys are doing and doing well that attracts and makes, you know, senior level executives want to hang out with you and your crowd. I mean, do you know what it is?
Is it Cynthia?
That's what it is.
I think it's definitely a mixture of the relationships, the longstanding business relationships we've had over the years. Cynthia has obviously great connections. She used to be on Fox 5 Atlanta in her heyday of broadcast. And her husband is Joey Ryman, who is the CEO of Bright House. I don't know if you're familiar. He's a big ad guy. Big ad guy.
Uh-huh. That probably doesn't hurt, huh?
That's right.
We may or may not share the same building. But, you know, I think the most important thing for us has been nurturing the longstanding relationships and making sure that our clients feel like they're mutually beneficial and that we continue to make sure that our community is a good database for mentorship and leadership for other women, rising leaders and companies. And they just like us. And no girl can turn down pink.
Yeah. We do a great job, I think, bridging the gap between the C-level executives and your middle management and senior level managers that are looking to be where they are.
So tell me a little bit more about the culture within Pink, because it's not a terribly large staff. I mean, you guys are getting an awful lot done with pretty limited staff, aren't you? How big is this team?
It's less than 10 people.
Less than 10 people. So tell me, and I want to hear it from both of you. I want to get so I want to start with you, Nicole.
Nicole wants more people, right?
Well, yeah. Editorial operations are quite interesting, and it can be a lot. You know, it's a lot of fun. I enjoy what I do, so I don't really see it as work so much. But yeah, I mean, we definitely. I have interns to help, and Danielle's always a great help. So,
speak to the culture. What's the atmosphere like?
Right, it's a fun place to work. You got the, you know, pool tables like they do over at Razor.
We don't have the pool tables, but it is pretty fun. We have a nice little, I guess, snack area in the back. And for me,
what about coffee? Coffee's important,
we,
right?
We have lots of coffee.
Nobody skimps on coffee, right?
No.
Nobody skimps on
lots
coffee.
Lots of coffee, tea. We like to have, we had a little Cinco de Mayo party. So we brought in some homemade guacamole and different dips and things like that. So that was great.
Is it all women?
No, we have a token man.
Do you really?
One
we
token
do.
Guy.
One guy. And he puts up with us because it's very pink in there.
So, we should have brought him.
We should. Next time we're going to bring him, definitely.
You let him out occasionally.
We do. You know, I'm still trying to figure out how he handles all of the pink everywhere. but he does it. So
okay,
we're
having him. Next time we do a little pink book update, we want this guy.
I told you he won the Amazing Race, so that's why.
He did.
Him and his brother won the Amazing Race. So they, I mean, once you've been around the
world. Him and his brother? Oh, there was a brother
team. Jordan and Dan Pius.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. All right, before we wrap, let's get a rundown of upcoming events so that our listeners know. And let's make sure they know how to get to the little pink book.
Okay, so on June 5th, we'll be co-hosting a Twitter party with Pershing over with their Insight 2013 event, which will be around personal finance. And then at the end of June, we will be launching our CFO list featuring top women in the Fortune 500 that are CFOs, such as Carol Tomei. And we will also be relaunching our website during that time. So you'll see lots of new content, lots of focus on Pink TV and spotlights on other women.
And it's a complete revamp. So people that are accustomed to coming to our site, you will be very surprised at our new look. It's going to be great. And it's going to be around our anniversary, too. So we may or may not have an anniversary party.
And that's littlepinkbook.com, right?
Correct. Yes. Littlepinkbook.com. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. Same stuff, littlepinkbook.com.
Pinterest. Instagram.
We are on Pinterest. We are not on Instagram.
Oh, got to draw the line, right?
Right. We've got to.
That'd be crazy.
We're on LinkedIn, though.
Okay.
Yeah, we all are on LinkedIn. With social media, you know, you have to be where it matters, right?
Absolutely. Right. All right. Well, thank you all for being part of the show. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next week on Atlanta Business Radio.